At this time, I'd like to share with you a few thoughts that to guide our minds to the Lord's Supper. And what I hope to accomplish by sharing some of these thoughts this time is to help us grow a greater appreciation for the cross. As many of you know, Agnes and I are still finishing up our last semester at Florida College this semester. In this semester, I've been privileged with the opportunity to take a class called a Philosophy of Religion. And earlier in one of my classes this week, something that really caught my attention and made me think about the Lord's Supper and some thoughts I want to share with you this morning was this idea of disenchantment. When we talk about enchantment versus disenchantment, we're talking about when you see something and you are charmed by it. You believe in it, you are motivated by it, you believe in it so much that you allow it to change your life and have impact on your life. And a point was made that when it comes to religion, that you can't be biased when you're looking at something objectively, and that is objective, that is false. But when we think about the converse of that, when we think about enchantment specifically, we think about why do we like things? Why do we commit to things? Why do we allow things to change our lives? I think there's much power in this concept, and I'd like to share with you a few thoughts on that this morning. What are the properties of enchantment? We talked about, when it talks about things that we are enchanted by, there are three things that are needed and necessary for us to be enchanted by something, for this to kind of have that power over us. We need to be able to see the truth, the beauty, and the goodness in something in order to be enchanted by it, for that to have its full effect on us and for us to like it so much that we would allow it to change our lives. And so I want to ask the question, are we enchanted by the image, the figure, the idea of the cross? I'd like to share a few points of consideration with me this morning. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Again, we talked about how in order to be enchanted by something, you need three things. You need to be able to see the truth, the beauty, and the goodness of the cross. And I'd like to demonstrate that to you this morning in Scripture. I'd like for us to be able to see these three qualities in the image of the cross, that we might be enchanted by the cross this morning. So what is the truth of the cross? What is a very important truth about what the cross teaches us about God and of Christ that we cannot get around? In Romans chapter 5, Paul very descriptively, very well writes the truth of the gospel, of the cross for us. Read with me verse 6 of Romans chapter 5. Paul says that for while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would even dare to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were still enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. There are four adjectives that are used here in this paragraph to describe what we were like before we became Christians. The first one is that we were weak. For while we were still weak, Christ died for the ungodly. Ungodly is the second one. The third one is that we were sinners before we became Christians. And the one that really gets me every time, we find in verse 10 again. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Before we became Christians, we were weak, we were ungodly, we were sinners, and we were enemies of God. This is what we were like before God, before we became Christians. And this text makes the point that we don't like to die for people. I don't want to give up my life for someone unless I really believe in it, and I really believe that this is worth it. And the text makes the point that someone might consider dying for someone they see as a righteous person, but who wants to die for someone who you don't believe is worth it? Someone who you don't think that they are worth your life? Someone who is perhaps ugly and not kind to you and does evil things to you? Would you die for that person? For the person who constantly rejects you and disrespects you persecutes you, would you die for that person? Someone who you consider weak, someone who you consider ungodly, who sinned against you, again, someone who is your enemy, would you die for that person? That is what Jesus did for us. That is the truth. Jesus died for us when we were these things against him. He did not make an exception for us when he very well could have, like we might today. Would I die for someone like that? No, I wouldn't. But Christ did that for us. The truth that he died for us despite these things, that's powerful. I hope we can see the truth in Jesus' love for us there. But what about the beauty of the cross? How do we see beauty in the cross? Turn over with me to Isaiah 53. I'm going to read all of Isaiah 53. This is a powerful chapter in the book of Isaiah. It doesn't need much explanation. I'm going to read it slowly. Let these words have their full effect on you. See the beauty of the cross through the words of Isaiah here. Isaiah 53, starting in verse 1. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgressions of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked and with the rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. Wow, that is powerful. That God prophesied that his son would come to earth and do all of that on our behalf. That is beautiful that God planned this ahead of time for us, that we could be made right, that his son would come and bear our iniquity, that we could be made right before God again. That is beautiful. That is the beauty of the cross. And what about the goodness of the cross? Turn over with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Here in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul is going to clearly define what he's been preaching to people when he goes and preaches the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, Paul writes, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, in which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Paul is saying, this is the gospel that I received, and this is the gospel that I am sharing with everybody. The word gospel in the Greek means good news. The news that Christ died and was buried and was raised for us and our transgressions, that is called the good news. To hear that God sent his only son to die on our behalf, that is good news for us. There is so much goodness in the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, the good news of the cross. And as we looked at these three passages, I hope that we've been able to see, again, in Romans 5, the truth of the cross, the fact that Christ died for us despite the fact that we were his enemies, someone who we wouldn't see as worthy to die for, yet Christ died for us anyway. That is the truth of the cross. We read Isaiah 53 to read of the prophecy that God established about him sending his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, and all the things that he was doing, bearing our griefs, bearing the iniquity of all of us, being despised and afflicted, being persecuted. That is beautiful that God planned this ahead of time for all of us. There is beauty in the cross. And we just read that when Paul goes around preaching to people, and as when we try to go around preaching to people, we're preaching and teaching them the good news. And the good news is that Jesus died for everybody, that we could be made right with God. We see all three things. We see the truth, the cross, the beauty of the cross, and the goodness of the cross. And now I ask all of us in this room this question: are you enchanted by the cross? Does this form within you a greater appreciation for the cross? If we are enchanted by the cross, then we see the truth, the beauty, and the goodness of the cross, and to let it have its and we are seeking to let it have its full effect upon us to motivate a response in us to Christ. What response? What did Christ ask us to do? One last passage. Let's look at Luke 22. Luke 22. In Luke's narrative of the gospel, he's giving a very chronological account of what happened when the Lord was walked among us. And in Luke 22, this is Luke's account of the Lord instituting the Lord's Supper as we are about to partake soon. Let's read that account. Luke 22, starting in verse 14. And when the hour came, he reclined at table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. The Lord asked us to remember him, to remember his sacrifice, to remember his sacrifice on the cross, of which we were just looking at the truth, the beauty, and the goodness of it. He asked us to remember his body and to remember his blood, to remember the pain and suffering that he went through on our behalf, in his life, the blood that was shed on our behalf, that we could be forgiven of our trespasses. The blood of Jesus would cleanse us of our iniquities and of our transgressions. This morning, as we are about to partake the Lord's Supper, if we are enchanted by the cross, let us focus on the remembrance of our Lord. Focus on his body that was tortured and persecuted, and his blood that was shed for us. Let us focus and really appreciate the sacrifice of our Lord. Let us be enchanted by the cross as we partake of the Lord's Supper at this time.